Good morning. This is Pastor Thomas, and I want to thank you for being in the Light for Living listening audience on this wonderful Sunday morning and Father's Day morning. And so on behalf of myself and the True Light Baptist Church, we wish each of you fathers a great day. And I can't think of any better way to start it out than being in the local church, be in that good church home. And you say, preacher, I do have family coming in from out of town. We don't get to see each other often. I believe I'll stay at home. Wrong answer. Rewind that, rethink that, and say, hey, I'm going to put the Lord first. I'm going to honor my Heavenly Father. And then we'll spend that quality time with the family and being as a family unit in the local church. That's quality time. But then you'll have time thereafter. And so encourage them. Maybe you haven't had them as a family unit in church together for a long time. Family members coming from all over the place. What a great day to have everybody together honoring and worshiping the Lord. If you're not in that good church home, come out this morning. Be our guest here at the True Light Baptist Church. We're located at 8139 Hugh Matthews Highway, Alton, Virginia. And if you are coming from Highway 58, just take 501 South Hugh Matthews Highway. That's between the Sheets and the Hardys. Go about 7.5 miles. The church is going to be on the left. We'll be about a mile from the Cluster Springs Elementary School, and you will. As soon as you pass the school, you'll begin to see the tip of the steeple, and it'll lead you right into the church. If you happen to be listening from North Carolina, and you would love to visit with us, cross the state line, go about 4.5 miles, somewhere around there, you'll see the church on the right. And so you'll have no problem whatsoever finding us. Lord willing, we're going to be meeting this morning at 11 o'clock. Now, due to us having such a time, Father's Day, we honor the Lord first, but as a True Light Baptist Church, we're going to give you that time in the evening with your family, so there'll be no evening service. But I do want to mention our midweek service. That's at 7 p.m. Wednesday evenings. And we're going verse by verse through the book of Galatians. And I have enjoyed this study. It's been profitable to me. I think it has been for the people there as well. And I would love for you to be a part of that. Now, keep this in mind. Beginning next Sunday morning, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in particular, we're going to be having Brother Robert Jones with us. We'd love to have you a part of that short meeting. We'd pray it will break out into revival meeting, but he'll be with us. And if you've ever heard Brother Jones, you will confirm the fact that he is a good Bible preacher. He is certainly going to give you something from that book to chew on, to think about. And we would love for you to be a part. Now, those of you in your church home, you know to be in your church on Sunday. But the Monday, Tuesday meeting in particular will be at 7 p.m. So there's going to be special singing on each of those nights. There's going to be, no doubt, Bible, strong Bible preaching. And I believe there'll be great fellowship. We'll pray it'll be a great meeting. Would love to see you sitting in the pew there during that time. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. You'll be given the number to call. Right at the conclusion of the program. All right, I want to go back into our text there in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. I'm going to go ahead and read those 12 verses once again and finish up the thought, Paul's attitude concerning three different things that we find in these verses. And we talked to you last week about Paul's attitude concerning the church itself, the church at Thessalonica. We'll read about that. We'll see that Paul had an attitude concerning those that were rejecting Christ, the crowd that refused to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we're going to be talking to you this morning about Paul's attitude towards Christ himself. And so let's read these verses. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we talked about Paul's attitude towards the church. It was a commendation. He was commending this church. He recognized that God was at work amongst the people in that church. Then, as we read in these verses, Paul had an attitude towards those that did reject Christ. Now, he loved sinners. It was his life's work to magnify Christ, but to give sinners the gospel. He wept over his own countrymen. But we see that Paul understood, as God revealed unto him, that there was going to be great judgment to come for those that reject him. We hear so much now about the love of God, and I am so grateful for the love of God, and it is powerful, it is real, it is perfect, and it's something that we ought to rejoice in. But we can't fully appreciate the love, the mercy, the grace of God if we don't understand the justice of God. And as we told the church the other night, God would not be a just God if he did not punish those that reject him. We know that Jesus Christ bore our sin judgment there on the cross. But for someone to reject Christ, the one means of salvation, is a terrible thing. And it is a terrible thing for a sinner to fall in the hands of an angry God. We know about that great message of yesteryear, Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that is ever so true. And so I beg and plead with you before we go a step further, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, understand the predicament that you are in. You are under the wrath of God. You are under the bondage of sin. And you are certain to spend an eternity in a place where the fire is never quenched. That's where you are right now, but you don't have to be, for Jesus Christ indeed paid the price for your sin, buried, rose again, and will give you everlasting life, and will declare you free, if only you'll put your faith and trust in him. So I'm begging you to do just that, and do it at this very moment. Now we come to the close and we deal with Paul's attitude towards Christ himself. May I say there in verse number 10, he had a full assurance of Christ's imminent return. Yes, Paul was looking for Jesus Christ to come in his lifetime. How much more should we do so in our lifetime? The Bible says there in verse number 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Jesus Christ is coming, and the Bible says he's going to be glorified in his saints. Oh, if you're saved by the grace of God, isn't that shouting grounds to think that Jesus Christ is indeed coming? And he is coming for you, and he's coming for me. And thanks be unto God, he's going to change these old, vile bodies. We're going to see the glorious consummation of God's grace. Here we are, wretched sinners, deserving of the hell that I just spoke of. But when we trusted in him, thank God at that moment he saved our soul from death. He quickened our spirit. But there's going to be a time that he is going to change this vile body. And our bodies will then be glorified, changed into his likeness. What an amazing thought. And what a sight it will be no doubt to behold. Paul had the assurance of Christ's coming, but then there is the affirmation of Christ's character. Now, we're talking about that affirmation meaning a declaration. That was Paul's responsibility, but may I say it's our responsibility as well. Listen to verse number 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. An affirmation, an outward declaration of Christ's character. How can that be done? Well, through our voice of testimony, but then through certainly the walk of our sojourn. Can I ask you this question? Can God count you worthy, as we just read? Can God count you worthy of your glorious calling? Can I ask you this in the last part of verse number 11? The Bible says, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Not only can God count you worthy of such a calling, but can God confidently entrust his work into your hands? Dear child of God, on this Father's Day morning, can God fulfill his work and his pleasure through your life? Can he indeed fulfill the work of faith as we read about? And can I ask you this? Can he do it with power? I ask this question, if you were to be the only declaration of Christ's character in this world. You're not, I understand that, but if it depended on you, what kind of Christ would the world see? Now, Paul had an attitude towards Christ, and he understood his own personal responsibility concerning who Christ is and making him known. He's worthy. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to count it the greatest of honor to be able to live for him, to live for him in his power, for his purpose, for his glory. What a wonderful thought. But then let me ask you this. Can God indeed clearly magnify the name of Jesus Christ through you? I look at verse number 12. The Bible says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to have the opportunity to be called a Christian, to know Jesus Christ. Indeed, to be able to bear his glorious gospel to a lost and dying world, to be able to represent him. But I ask myself, and I failed in so many ways, but I ask you as well, can the Lord God Almighty, can he clearly magnify the name of Jesus Christ through your life? Sobering thought, isn't it? What a privilege, but how we squander such a privilege and how we shun such a responsibility to make Christ known, to magnify his glorious name in a very dark world. I give you this in closing. It's indeed wonderful that Paul gave the church there at Thessalonica, and he did, an excellent grade for their past performance. But it was expected, and he encouraged them to continue to score well in future performance. I ask you this morning, as you look back on your life, and I'm glad God is a forgiving God. Have we honored him? Have you honored him in your past, in your Christian life? If not, let's get that right. Go forward. God forgives it. But then we sure can't use past performance, even if it's good, and ride on that the rest of our life. What are you going to do right now? How are you going to represent Christ right now? How are you going to make his name known in a lost and dying world right now and until Jesus calls you home? I hope you will not only be running well, have run well, but I hope and pray that you will finish well. I trust to see you on this Father's Day morning at True Light Baptist Church. Have a great day. May the Lord bless you. We'll talk to you soon.